Well, guys, welcome back. Thank you, band. Awesome job this morning. We are jumping into a series again. This series is called Wake. Wake is the title of our ministry, but we're using this series to look at the wakeboarding analogy and how we as junior high students, not just we as adults and your parents and people at Watermark, but how junior high students, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders can live out the Christian life through the analogy of wakeboarding and what we see the truth in God's word. So last week we defined wake as this. It is a track or a path left by something that is moving. Usually it's in a body of water, like a boat, but something large that is on the move, and you can see that there is something leaving a trail behind it. So we said that God is active and alive in the world today. He's not dead, as the movies say, but he's not just this old guy. He is moving, and he leaves a trail and calls us to follow him. It's by his power that we are lifted up if we trust in him. And then he calls us to abide, and we will grow. And as we grow, we want to share that with others. I've got an 8-year-old nephew named Duke. Duke has been wanting to learn to wakeboard for years, but he's been very scared. And when he gets in the water, he can't get it. But this last weekend, he got it. This is a video of him. Check it out. Isn't that the most amazing wakeboard video you've ever seen? Some of you guys are probably like, nah, not really. You guys have probably seen some pretty sweet Sean's was. Sean's was way better. You guys have probably seen some sweet wakeboard videos, right? Like you just Google wakeboarding on YouTube and you see guys doing backflips and aerial flips. They're doing all kinds of stuff. It's unbelievable. But to my nephew, that's the greatest thing that happened. He couldn't stop talking about it. He called me afterwards and said, Uncle Harrison, I got up on a wakeboard today. He sent me the video. The next day I saw him and he just came running to me. He couldn't wait to tell me about it. Because he was so excited to share about what he got to be a part of. So excited to share this new thing that he got to do. And for me, I've told you guys before, last week, I love wakeboarding. I didn't grow up with a boat. I didn't grow up with access to a boat. But when I got married, my wife's family does. And so I've gotten to enjoy being on the lake and learning to wakeboard. And I love to invite people to come with me. Any chance I get, I love to get my buddies and go, hey, you have got to come and check this out. It is awesome. Whether you've done it before or never done it, I would love to show you. It is so great. And we can understand why someone would want to do that with wakeboarding and get excited about that. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, most of us do not get anywhere near as excited to share our relationship with Jesus and how others could know him. As an 8-year-old does about learning to wakeboard, or as any of us would if we got to wakeboard or go on a boat. But that's what Jesus calls us to. God invites us in to be a part of the work he is doing in the world. And it's unbelievable. Not only the relationship that many of you guys have, that's possible for you to be in relationship with God, but then to share that with others, to invite them into the boat, to experience the life and the joy that you have seen. And so that's what we're going to look at today, is how you can invite others into the boat, how you can invite others to have relationship with Jesus just like you do. But even as I say that, some of you kind of go, okay, yeah, I heard this before, but man, I'm scared. I'm scared of what people are going to think. Or some of you are going, I don't know the words to say. I don't know where to take them in Scripture. I don't know. I just kind of fumble. I don't know what to do. I'm scared I'm going to mess it up. But as we're going to see, it's not your job to save people. God is moving. God is at work. He just calls us to follow him and to share the excitement and the relationship that we have with Jesus. Because it is so much more fun wakeboarding when you're inviting your friends to come with you. So open up to John 15. We were in John 15 last week. If you got your Bibles or got your phones, you can find it on there too. Last week, we were in John 15, 4 through 9. Today, we're going to go a little further into verse 12. So we're going to start John 15, 12. Remember, this is Jesus with his disciples, and he is about to die the next day. So this is his last time hanging with the disciples. And he told them, we looked at last week, here is how you can know me and then continue to grow with me even after I'm gone. And then we're going to see here, he sends them on a mission. So in verse 12, he starts and says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now remember, commandment. That sounds strong, because it is. This is Jesus. This is not just an ordinary man. He is God. He is, the scripture says, he is the visible image of the invisible God. The Word made flesh, Jesus as God, is commanding them to love each other. That's hard enough. Do you guys do a good job of loving your brother or sister? Probably not. Some of you do, maybe. Or other friends. Like, it's not hard to love somebody all the time. But then Jesus takes it another step, and he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. That's a high calling. That is a high bar. Not to just be good or be nice because you're just a good Christian kid, but because of the power of God in you to love one another and to love the world around you just as God has loved you. Just as Jesus loved the disciples and gave of his life to be with them for 3 years. And then as you continue to read, went to the cross to give of his life so that all of us could have salvation for those who believe in him. So he starts with a high calling to love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. To give of your life because you love somebody that much. That's the highest calling. That's the calling that we see Jesus step up to for not only his friends, but all of us. And then it goes on and he says, this is again, Jesus, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. In my Bible, I have that circled a ton. You can like see all the marks because that's unbelievable. And he says, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is not just saying, hey, here's what God says to do. I'm telling you because you better be ready. You're going to just be punished because God doesn't love you. He goes more than saying that God loves you. God calls those who know him and follow him, God calls you friends. Two times in a couple sentences here. We can be the friend of God. God loves you that much, not only just to die for you, but he sees you as someone he wants to be with, to hang around, not because he needs you. God's not looking for more buddies because he's insecure. God invites you in to be a friend with him. The King of the universe, the sovereign Lord, sees you as friend. That is amazing. And because we're his friend, he then calls us to obedience. Because we know him, because he loves us, he asks us to love him and in turn then go and love others. Not because we have to, but because we get to. And so then he continues. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You guys need to know from this verse, there is nothing, again, nothing that you can do to save yourself or save anybody else. God is the only one that can open somebody's eyes to see the truth. It is God who chooses you. You did not choose him. And the same with other people. But right after it says, but I have appointed you to go. I have made you my messengers. Other places in scripture it says ambassador. You're my representative to go, to bear fruit in your life that you'll see the result of a relationship that is there and then to call other people to come to know him too, to invite them into the boat. And then an amazing thing there says, and we saw something similar last week, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Again, God's not a genie. But God wants to see people come to know him. And God wants to be glorified because he is worthy of praise. And he wants us to come with our requests to him. And then he closes this section. And verse 17, he says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. All of this, the entire purpose of us submitting to our Savior and then going to tell others is out of love for them. Guys, the most loving thing to do is to tell somebody the truth. And not to just tell them, but to live out that truth. The most loving thing to do is to tell someone the truth of who Jesus is and how he loves you. But in our culture, in our little Dallas life, in American life, most people would not say that you telling them that there is a God who is perfect And there are a bunch of people who are imperfect and don't deserve to be with him, but God came and loved them so much that he died for them. They think you're crazy. And they go, hey, don't judge me. I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. You just look at me because you're just a church kid and a Christian kid, and you think you're better than me? And that's not our heart at all, but that's a lot of why it leads us to fear sharing the amazing joy of relationship with Christ, because we're scared of how people are going to react. But you telling them about Jesus, about the truth of the gospel, that's not judging somebody. Now, there are people who are guilty of that. There are people who look down on people. And I've been guilty of it before. Many of us have. We don't mean to, but we look at somebody and we look at it in our selfish, sinful way. And we can look down on it. But if we do it out of love because of what Jesus calls to, it leads to life. But it is divisive. Jesus says that he is divisive, that he is offensive to some people. And there are going to be some people who will push away from you and not even want to be around you because you associate yourself with Jesus Christ. But if it's nothing that you can do to give them salvation, then it's also nothing that you can do. It's not your fault that they're pushing you away. Later on in this passage, if you continue in John 15, it says, if the world hates you, know that it hated him before. We are representatives of Jesus. It's not the world saying, I hate you, Harrison. It's the world pushing you away because of your relationship with Jesus. And guys, I recognize that is really, really hard. But we don't invite people to come wakeboarding on a boat, to use this silly analogy. We don't invite them. Do you get mad if somebody goes, oh, no, I can't today? If you were to invite somebody, would you get mad? You would? Well, sometimes people are just busy or they can't. You're not going to be like, oh, you're terrible. Or you're not going to, if you say, hey, man, you want to come wakeboarding? What if somebody was like, oh, whoa, you think that land's not good enough? Like, that'd be ridiculous. Like, no, come check out this amazing thing that I'd love for you to come try. And so we take it personal when people reject us. We take it personal and we don't know what to do. You are equipped right here, guys, and we're going to give you another tool that you can use. And guys, the best tool you have is your story, your life. It is not just enough to tell somebody the truth. You've got to live it too. You've got to live in such a way where you are living differently than the world so that they will see the difference in you and come to know the God that you serve. Because Jesus is the only way. It's not, hey, believe in something and you'll get there. Hey, be kind of spiritual or be good and you'll get to heaven because God's going to let everybody in. That's not what the scripture teaches. That's universalism. That's pluralism, meaning you can believe in all these different things and there's no one way to heaven. Scripture absolutely refutes that and says differently. In John 14:6, it says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is Jesus talking. He's it. There's only one way. And it is only God that's going to open somebody's eyes by the Spirit of God. But he invites us in and calls us to go, to tell them. You see it somewhere else in Matthew 28. This is the passage known as the Great Commission. It says, go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and teach people about me. Go and teach them how to walk with me. Go on mission. And so, guys, we're going to give you a tool how to do that. But this week, you guys are on mission. You're going to go to lunch somewhere today. You're going to hang out somewhere this week, maybe somewhere on Monday, maybe on a boat, maybe just kicking it at the house, maybe going to Six Flags. I don't know. Y'all are going to Six Flags? Sweet, tonight. There you go. Awesome opportunity. And then all week, you're going to be right where you are normally, either in school, which many of you hate to be in, but you're stuck there, or at the place that you love to be at most. Maybe that's at football practice. Maybe that's at gymnastics practice. I don't know if you're into that kind of thing. Nice. Way to go, Rhett. Maybe it's studying. Maybe it's being with friends. Maybe it's doing whatever. Maybe you're really into yoga. I don't know. And But each of you have something where you are passionate about and you love to do it, or a place that you're going to be already spending a lot of time. And I want to ask you guys to use that as a platform to share the gospel. Wherever Jesus was, he pointed to the Father. And because of our relationship with Jesus, we talked last night, we are connected with him as we abide in his word and are with each other in community of believers. Wherever we go, we are to give glory to him. And we do that by living our lives in a way that's different than the world, but then we also have to be faithful to share the truth of who Jesus is. And so as you guys leave here in a second, we're going to give you a gospel bracelet. Who in here has a gospel bracelet on? Does anybody have one on? We had a couple. You do, Finley?
Yeah.
You've got yours on from this summer?
No.
It's just another one? Hold it up. Hold it up there. Is it? Yeah, you got the gospel bracelet. How long have you been wearing that? Okay. Oh, yeah, you got one today. Who in here went on Dallas Experience this summer? Raise your hand if you did. Okay. All of you guys that went on Dallas Experience, you got an opportunity to make one of these and give it to other people, right? You guys got to learn how to use a gospel bracelet. It's just a simple tool. This is not going to change anybody's life, a little bracelet with beads on it. But you being reminded how to give the truth of what is in here and say it in a way, in a quick way, wherever you are, you can point people through your story to the truth of who Jesus is, and that can change somebody's life. So those of you who went on Dallas Experience, we talked to you that it's not just 1 week out of the year where we go and love people and go on mission. We're on mission every week. And so we're going to give not only Dallas Experience people, but all of you the opportunity to go and to share. He's wearing a shirt right now. This was the Dallas Experience shirt. It's probably hard to see, but it's got a reflective material on it. If you're in the dark and you put a flash on it, it will shine because we are a reflection of the light of Christ. When people look at us, they should see Jesus by the way we live and by the words that we tell them of the great truth of who Jesus is. So you're going to get a gospel bracelet. You're also going to get a little sheet. This is a yellow sheet that's got an explanation of each of these beads that can help give you wording of how to make sense of it. Many of you guys know how to do this. Many of you have never heard this before. And then on the other side, there are a bunch of scriptures that you can use to back it up. And so if you need help making one of these before you leave, we would love to help you. It is just a simple tool, and I'm going to go through it quickly. And this is something that I want to challenge each of you guys to wear on your wrist so that you can share with somebody this week. But the black means that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see that in Romans 3:23. No one is worthy to be before God because he is perfect, and no one here is perfect. And so we needed a way to be reconciled to God. So God sent his son Jesus to die for us. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the blood of Jesus, the red, that covers our death because of sin, and because of his blood that covers us and reconciles us to God, Isaiah says that we are washed white as snow. And because we are clean, cleansed of our sin, no longer living in death, but living in life, we can surround ourselves with other believers. And the green means that we can grow in our relationship with Christ, grow in our knowledge of the word, grow in the way that we live the Christian life, because someday we will dwell forever. After we die, there is eternity. And for those who believe in Jesus, the treasure of Jesus Christ in heaven awaits us in the streets of gold. Guys, this is a way just to tell the scripture that God created the world perfect and we messed it up and brought sin into the world, but God sent his son to redeem us and reconcile us and then live among the church so that once we die, we can live with him in glory. That's the gospel. And so I want to challenge you guys this week to put this on your wrist, and not only just to wear it, and not only just to go, man, I hope somebody's like, hey, what's that crazy little bracelet thing? But I hope that you will be bold enough that wherever you are, football practice, carpool, sitting with your brother, that you can say, hey, can I tell you about something that's changed my life? Can I tell you the story of who God is and how he loves you? and to take them through this bracelet. I want to challenge you to do that. And we're going to give each of you guys a bracelet and an explanation of how to do it. So that a week from now, in this week, there will be hundreds of students that have gone all over Dallas, all over their campuses at school, all over carpool lines everywhere, football fields, soccer fields, Six Flagses. I don't know how you say Six Flags plural. Six Flag Eye, maybe. That's fine. Flagses. We'll say Six Flagses. Whatever. So you'll go wherever you are and you have the gospel with you. You don't need a bracelet to share the gospel. But it's also a way that you can wear it and be reminded that there are people all around you who don't know who God is and don't know of God's great love for them. And so when you see it, use it as an opportunity to pray that God will open the eyes of people around you. Maybe you have somebody in your family who's not a believer. Maybe you have a best friend who doesn't want anything to do with God. When you wear that on your wrist, be reminded of him or her and pray for them. Because it is only God who opens our eyes. Nothing that you can do, nothing I can do, but we can share it. And so guys, invite them to small group. Invite them to Watermark, to Wake. We're not trying to just get more people. We're trying to tell people of the amazing thing that we have in a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. And so far better than having a boat and inviting people to come wakeboard with us on a boat, you guys have access to the creator of the universe. And I want to challenge you to tell somebody, to invite them into the boat, to invite them into relationship with Jesus. I'm going to pray that you'll have the boldness to do that. As you go out here in a second, Rebe's going to have these yellow cards and a little bag. Grab one. We'd love to help you make it if you need it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you don't need us, but you choose to use us. You choose to take those that believe in you, that have submitted their life and trusted in you. You help us grow through your word and in community with others, and then you call us to go. But Lord, we don't have to see it as our job to change people's minds and to change the way they live. You just ask us to go and share. And so Lord, I pray that you'd help us get over our fear, mine included, of our fear of what people are going to think, our fear that we might say the wrong thing, but that Lord, we will prayerfully and boldly trust in you, that you are at work, that your spirit is alive and active, and that you'll use your word and the story of the gospel to transform lives. And so give us boldness. I pray that all of us in this room will at least share the truth of the gospel with one person and maybe more. And I pray that because of junior high students in Dallas at Watermark, that this city will be different because of the way we live our lives and the way that we're willing to share the truth of the hope that we have in Jesus. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.